this week it'll be 11 years. And hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? This weekend already, how many of you watched one of the specials that was on? Probably a number of you have. And there'll be a lot more over the next several days. Some of those are real good, and some of them leave a lot to be desired, but I hope you will remember. Always remember, because Bev Gladden's the one that called us and let us know. We didn't know what was happening at the office in Georgetown. Today, around our world, there are a lot of other things that are happening. And as you pray, I hope you'll be praying about the times in which you live. I know I sound like a broken record to some of you, but that's one of my roles. Part of my calling is to continue to sound the trumpet. The Russians have taken a lot of their people out of Syria, and they're preparing for an intervention of some sort by some sort of Western coalition that's probably going to go into Syria. There's probably going to be some kind of intervention there. We don't know that for sure. That may not take place. A lot of players in all of this. The Canadian Prime Minister has taken his people out of Iran. They've exited Iran. Prime Minister Netanyahu is... of Israel is contemplating, and they have been contemplating some sort of military intervention into Iran. I know some of you are sitting here today, but preacher, you know, you don't know what kind of week I've had, and this has gone on. I'm telling you, all this stuff that I just said will change the week you're going to have. And it'll change it dramatically in a lot of ways. The Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're commanded to do that. And so, in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in that prayer that we've prayed many times as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We've got our men and women, military, that are spread out all over the globe right now, defending the freedom of this nation. Freedoms that we enjoy, that is the greatest freedom that any culture, any nation has ever enjoyed in the history of the world. There's nothing like it. Nothing. Historically, you can't bring up an example that is where there's been more freedom for more people. But I ask you to pray, and I ask you to not be stupid and not sit around like, hey, everything's just going to keep rocking along and we can withdraw as Christians, as Americans, and just let the rest of the world go. No, now is the time. Now is the time to pray like we've never prayed before, to evangelize like we've never evangelized before, to support all those who are standing for what is right and what is good, but most of all for what is godly in this world. And there's a lot of that is going on right now. Many good things that never get published in the newspaper. So today, and even my sermon that I'm going to preach today is related to this. So let's pray. Lord, as we pause on this Sunday before we will have the 11th commemoration of 9/11 in our country, we remember. Remember the lives of almost 3,000 people that were lost on that day. We pray for their families today. So many who continue to suffer. Lord, our nation even suffers from the economic blow that took place at that time and what has happened throughout the world since that time. We come into Your presence today and we're asking, Lord, we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We're asking for Your intervention. We're asking, God, as a nation, Lord, that You'll intervene here and we'll turn back to You and we'll remember the foundation upon which we stand. I ask You, Lord, in all the ways in which we have turned our backs on You, God, I'm asking You for a renewal, a revival, a turning to You. Lord, we've had two great awakenings in this country. God, I'm praying for a third to take place. I ask You to come. Lord, we pray for our president and all those who advise him. We pray for our Congress, both houses, our judges. God, we lift all these people up before You. And as we pray for our leaders, we ask You, God, that they would be listening to You, to Your voice. That You would get their attention in these days. We thank You, Lord. Thank You for hearing and answering our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, may have confused you just a moment ago. The reason why the Canadian Prime Minister is thinking about taking his entourage from Iran is that they fully expect a military strike from the Israelis to attack the Iranian ability to produce a nuclear bomb. And that concerns all of us. Stick your head in the sand and say, oh, it doesn't concern me. But yes, it does. Every day. Every day. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to the book of Judges, chapter 13 in the book of Judges. Today, in just a few moments, I'm going to share with you briefly the story of Samson. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. All that stuff that was happening where Samson was going against the Philistines, that was something that God allowed to happen because of the disobedience, because the Israelites did evil in the sight of God. There was a certain man named man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had borne no children. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor to eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive, give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And so begins the story of this son who would be born to them, Samson, the strong man. Later on, Manoah would ask for the angel to come back, and the angel comes back, gives more revelation. But then Samson is born, and the Scripture says he was going to be a Nazarite from birth. This is the first time in Scripture that we see that recorded. And just what would a Nazarite be? It was a person who had dedicated himself to God. In no way, there are basically three things, possibly a fourth, but no razor could touch his head. In other words, his hair would just grow. He was to have no contact with anything that was dead, and he was to have no contact with any strong drink. There was, and I'd add a fourth one that is kind of the overarching one, there was to be a holiness, a set-apartness to his life. Now this is the time of the judges, this is before the kings came. So God would speak through these judges, and they sat over the people to decide things. It's more pervasive than just like a court system. It's more of a familial system over which they sat. Samuel was one of those. And so Samson comes into that. Then we come down to chapter 14. It says there, and Samson went down. He's now an adult. He went down to Timnah, and he saw a woman of Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back, and he told his father and his mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all the people that you could take for a wife, from that you have to take to go to the uncircumcised Philistines to take a wife. But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she looks good to me. But hear what the next verse says. However, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now, at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. So, we tend to look at that and we romanticize the story. We remember the movies that we've seen about this, and we get all this, the facts mixed up. In fact, it was God who was behind this. It was God who was behind this. Now, just so some of you theological anal retentives, you can have, God had forbidden the seven Canaanite tribes that they would not intermarry. But this was not one of them. Yes, it was the Philistines. And God was going to use Samson and the Israelites against the Philistines now for their deliverance. That was God's plan. We're going to see that in just a second. Well, we see that Samson has a conflict there. He has a conflict with the woman. He eventually is wed, but then he is taken away from her. Her father gives her to someone else. They have the party with the riddle and all that. You can read all of that story. But Samson gets very angry when the woman is taken from him. That's when he sets fire to the foxes' tails, and then they go throughout the wheat fields, the grain fields of the Philistines, and they become very angry. Samson becomes a wanted man, and so begins their this relationship, this adversarial relationship with the Philistine, and we see that Samson slays many Philistines. In fact, one day, he uses the jawbone of a donkey to kill many, many Philistines. He is a very strong man. And the Scripture says, and you'll see it, you can read it for yourself. Over and over again it says, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Okay. Now come on down to chapter 16. So they set a trap for him. This is getting on to the end of his life. End of his time. A lot of time has expired now. They set a trap so they can... The Philistines find out his weakness. And his weakness is women. And they find... What was their name? Delilah. Went to school with a girl named that. Verse 4, chapter 16. And after this it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and see where his great strength lies. You can read the story for yourself. Several times he'll lie to her and say, you know, you bind me in this way and I can't do that. And then eventually gets around to saying, she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you, and he breaks the ropes. Tells her another time, twist my hair a certain way. Then finally, you get down to verse 15, she says to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've deceived me here three times and have not told me what is the source of your great strength. Came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart. And he said to her, a razor has never come on my head, for I've been a Nazarite of God from my mother's womb. If I'm shaved, then my strength will leave me. And I'll become weak, be like any other man. Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart. She sent and called the lords of the Philistines, said, come up at once, for he has told me all that is in his heart. And then the lords of the Philistines came to her and brought the money into her hands. And she made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. And then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. She said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep. I'll go out as other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Now, what was the purpose of God for Samson? Scripture said it. God's purpose was that he would deliver Israel. In a lot of ways, and I want you to look at this as we go through and see, just make a few comments about Samson. Samson is a type of Israel, because you look at him and then you look at Israel and how they played it loose with the Lord. He's a type of Israel. But I want you to get one further than that. And see how Samson is a type of our nation. How we've played it loose with the Lord. But then there's even a third one that I'd like for you to see. And this gets close to home. He's a type of us. And how we've played it loose with the Lord. For you see, we come back to us. Too much is given, much is expected. Would you agree with that? If God puts a lot in your hand, doesn't He expect a lot? Does He have a right to do that? Well, God's got a right to do whatever He wants to do. He's God. But in His justice, He has a right to expect that. Would you say that much had been given to Samson? From his birth, he had been doted on. He had been given power that men, other men did not have. He had been given strength. He had been given wealth. He had been given standing. He had been given political power. Look at all the things that were served up to him on a silver platter. God's purpose for him, though, was he would use all of that for the glory of his God, Yahweh. He would deliver the people of Israel, children of Israel, from the Philistines. God wanted to make him an example of holiness also. And here, as he would take this Nazirite vow, no razor, no wine, no dead people, and no unholiness in his life. And God would empower him to do it at every juncture. It would be the power of the Spirit. For you see, in those days, the Spirit of God came on people individually. It's not like today, as the Spirit of God has come on all flesh. But the Holy Spirit would come on particular people who had special job. And here was Samson. The Spirit of God was upon him. Not only do I want you to see in this the purpose of God, but I want you to see the character of evil. There was lurking always this evil, this struggle that was going on from the garden, the struggle against evil and good that you see that reared its ugly head there in the garden. And we see Satan as he shows up. But looking back in time where Satan fell at some time, and you see the struggle going on, the good and evil. And here the Philistines, who again have only because that God allowed it to happen, that God will allow them to be used to come against the Israelites and the struggle. And the Philistines, I won't go into any long detail about this, at this time in history, the Philistines were the more erudite, sophisticated, cosmopolitan kind of society. And the Israelites were kind of the country bumpkins of the day. The Philistines looked down upon Israel and Samson and all that they represented. And they had absolutely no respect for Israel's God. Does that strike a familiar note to you? You ever hear that in the words of somebody like an Ahmadinejad? As he stands up to do one of his rants, and maybe you never took the time to look at the translation of what that crazy man is saying, but he's thumbing his nose in the face of God. Because there's a hatred there. It is something deeply spiritual that's going on, because that battle continues to today. It's the same battle. Why do they want to kill the Jews? Because they are the chosen people of Yahweh. Why do they want to kill us? Because we have been adopted into the family. See, it's all about this, going back to this struggle which goes back to the garden. That's why the whole world system is lined up again. Do you see it? Do you see it in this story? No respect for God. But we see that Samson, what does Samson do? He cooperates with evil. In every way. He hangs around that which is dead. He breaks that. We see him at these feasts and drinking. He breaks that. We see him hanging out with harlots, prostitutes. But more than that, we see him prostituting his own faith. You'll see, we preached a few weeks ago about Solomon. What came in, that there was a linkage between that prostitution that and the worship of false idols. Do you see the linkage that comes in that intimacy that takes place there? Samson started out correctly, and some would bust on him and say, well, he never should have tried to marry that Philistine woman. No, that's not what the Word says. The Word says that was from God. God had plans to use that. He was sending him out into the world. You could see him almost as an evangelist in this way for the plan and the purpose of God. But what does his mission turn into? Eventually, it will become a personal vendetta. Because that which God blessed him with, then Samson came to consume upon himself. Do you hear me? That's what many of us do as Christians. God brings a blessing, and instead of us being the conduit for it, as it is then passes through us and goes out into the world, we tend to want to just consume it upon ourselves. It became very personal to him. He wanted to kill the Philistines because to assuage his own anger. How he had been hurt. We see his heart changed. Took time, but his heart changed. But we also see in the story the patience of God. Was Yahweh not patient with him? Yet through it all, God has patience. In fact, God continues to use him at times in spite of himself. God ever do that with you, with me? Every time he uses us, he does. You see, but for the Lord, there was a larger picture here that Samson wasn't getting at that time. It was all about God's name and his reputation. And then what happens? Then comes the judgment of God. You see, Samson would profane the name of God. He would give himself to a harlot, would give his body to a harlot. But then he also gave his soul. For he shared and profaned the most intimate things of God with her. You see that? See that? See God? And there's a story in that for us as we live out our lives. God's called us to a higher calling to live out His name and His purpose in the earth. But yet in the end we see that God did not forget His plan. Verse 21. Then the Philistines seized him. They gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains. And he was a grinder in the prison, just like a mule. He could be made fun of. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Now listen, there's nothing magical about his hair. It wasn't the act of cutting off the hair that made him weak. That was an outward symbol of something that had happened in his heart. But you see, God has a plan. And even though we've screwed it up, we've messed it up, He can snatch us out of the fire. Look what he does. The hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Verse 23. Now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god. This demon that they worship. And to rejoice. For they said, "Oh, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands." You see what's happening here? What was the bottom line? The bottom line was they were wanting to say their God, their demon, is bigger than Yahweh. That's what it's always about. That's what it's about in Ahmadinejad's mind. That's what it's about in our minds every day when we say, my agenda is more important than God's. Isn't it? Do you see? See how plain it is. But look what happened. And when the people saw him, now, see, they're assembling for this great sacrifice, and they're actually in the temple of Dagon. When the people saw him, they praised their God, their demon God. For they said, our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us. And so happened, they were in high spirits, that they said, call for Samson, that he may amuse us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the two pillars. The two pillars on which this temple stood. And Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men and women were on the roof looking on while Samson was amusing them. That's just what was on the roof. That's not counting everybody else that is in this place now. Imagine it. They're whipped up in a frenzy of worship of this demon. Imagine it. Oh man, a drunken frenzy. I mean, it's flowing there. It is flowing. It is one profanity to Yahweh. Imagine it. You got a picture of it. I just can't describe to you the evil stench that must have gone to the nostrils of God for this. And here is Samson, and they're making fun of him. The one who was the embarrassment of God. The one who had embarrassed Yahweh. The one who now he has given cause so they could say, oh, look at the God of Israel. Look at what he does. Then Samson called to the Lord. First time it says, after all the events have taken place, that he calls to the Lord. Oh, Lord God, Adonai, Yahweh, please remember me. Please strengthen me just this time, oh God, that I may say it once and that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he braced himself against them, the one in his right and the one in his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Do you see a type here? Do you see a type here? Huh? What is he saying? I'm going to die for the people and for you. There would be one that would come. Yes. In this instance, he's also a type of Christ. And he bent with all of his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. And so the dead that were killed on that day at his death were more than those who had been killed all of his life. Imagine that. Then his brothers and all of his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. And thus he had judged Israel 20 years. You see, God did not forget his original promise. His justice will come forth. You can't break his law. You'll break yourself on his law. His name would be shown that day and would be revealed forever. And you talk about evangelism. You talk about the word going out. The name of Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, would go forth. A fear of the Lord would come upon the people. You see, in the end, it now was no longer about Samson. It was about Yahweh, God sent. You see it? That's my prayer for you and for me. What's going on in your life today? Where are you? What is God speaking to you? What is the Spirit of God saying to you today about your life? How much is God giving to you? And what is He expecting? Paul would say it this way. Romans 12:1. I beg of you, I beseech you, my brother, that you would give your life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Let me make you a promise. You can't outgive God. That day, God accomplished more in one instant than it happened in 20 years of Samson's life. What might He want to do with you? What great thing might He want to accomplish? And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm washed up. The world, the flesh, and the devil has gouged me and gouged me to the point of that. I mean, look at my life. How could God use me? Well, that's God's problem. It's up to you to give yourself to Him. You may think you're damaged goods. You're never, as long as life is in this body, too damaged for God to reclaim you for His purposes. He loves you. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you today for the story of Samson. I pray you'll take the truth that is here, your truth, and bring it to our hearts. And Lord, right now, if there's any in the sound of my voice that's never received you into their lives, I pray this day will be the day of salvation. That they'll be like Samson and cry out to you and say, Lord God, I need you now. I need you. Today is the day of salvation, to come to the one who has died in your place, has risen from the dead, and is Lord. Lord, I pray for many today, many believers in the sound of my voice who are discouraged, who need help today. Our help comes from You. We cry out to You, the One from whom comes our help. You are our deliverer, our salvation. You are Lord over all. You are Yahweh, Yireh, the God who will provide. You are Yahweh, Shalom, God of peace. Come. Come right now. Come to our lives and let us receive of You. We make this in Jesus' name. The altar's open if you want to come and pray. If you want to talk to someone, pastors are here to speak to you right now. It's your time with the Lord.
Confess my sins to You. You are faithful. You are faithful. You forgive and cleanse me too. You are faithful. You are faithful. You set me free. Set me free. You set me free from my sins. They're far away, so far away, far as the east from the west. You set me free. Nothing I can do, separate me, take me from the heart of You, because You love me, You love me, You set me free. Far away, far as the east from the west, You've set me free. You've set me free.
Might be someone here today who thinks God has forgotten you. Who thinks God is late. But He's never late. Seldom early. But He's never late. Let's pray right now. Lord, I'm praying for Your hope, Your deliverance, Your power to come upon us right now. We give You this. All these things, Lord, with open hands and open hearts to heaven, we say, Lord, take it all from us, Lord. All the stuff that our worries, our cares, the places where we've screwed it up, we've messed it up. Lord, we confess our sin. We confess that You are the only way, the only truth, the only life. Bless You.
I confess my sins to You. You are faithful. You are faithful. You forgive and cleanse me too. You are faithful. You are faithful. You've set me free. You've set me free. You've set me free from my sins. They're far away, so far away, far as the east from the west. And You've set me free. There is nothing I can do to separate me, to take me from the heart of You, because You love me. You set me free. Set me free from my sins. They're far away, so far away, far as the east from the west. You've set me free. You've set me free. You've set me free. From my sins, they're far away, so far away, far as the east from the west. You've set me free. You've set me free. Set me free.
Get those cards from you if you have an offering to bring. The basket's up here, the basket in the back. We'll wait just a moment. before I send you out, I want you to be remembering Brother Bob. You know, Brother Bob, he was involved in an automobile accident here a while back and totaled his car. Then he was changing a light bulb. This has been about a week and a half or so ago, and he fell. Thank you, Daniel. And he's just not able to be here today. And if you join me in this prayer for Brother Bob, because we love Brother Bob a lot and we miss him. Lord, we're praying today your healing for Brother Bob. I ask you to come and encourage him right now and bring your hand of healing upon his life. And now, Lord, we send out the body to be the hands and the feet, to be the mouthpiece, to be the eyes and the ears of Jesus the Lord. In the power of the Spirit, under the authority of the Father.